Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DMV Business Show. I'm your host, Otto Sevilla. And today I have two very special guests for us. We have Anna Chicas McNamara and Eliza Figueroa. They're both principals and owners of Preferred Capital Cleaning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. So before we go into both of your personal stories, if you can give the audience just a general overview if they haven't heard of Preferred Capital Cleaning.
So Preferred Capital Cleaning is a commercial cleaning business. We focus on post-construction cleaning. We also perform janitorial services, residential cleaning services, and we also provide punch-out services.
Nice. And the business was established when?
In 2016.
Okay. So almost close, like about 7 years, almost 10 years.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, wow.
We're in 2023, about to be in 2024. Wow. Time goes fast.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. So are you both originally from the DMV area?
Yes, I grew up in the Maryland area, Bethesda, Maryland.
Okay. And I'm not. I'm originally from New Jersey, and I relocated to the area in 2011. So I've been here for 12 years now. Wow. It'll be 13 in February.
So most of, I guess, you growing up, childhood, everything was in Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. So if I can take both of you briefly back to, you know, back then, you know, for you, Anna, I know you said you grew up here in Maryland, Bethesda, and New Jersey. Like, what were you into growing up, you know, as far as any activities or any sports you were involved?
No, was not really into any sports except for watching my Washington Redskins, now the Commanders, or any local sports. But other than me being a spectator, no, I did not, you know, didn't, you know, participate in anything like that.
Sure. I ran a little bit of track. It was very short-lived, maybe like two seasons. And I also played basketball.
Okay.
For a few seasons. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess during high school, was there ever maybe a business or entrepreneurial bug there? Or were there, from what you can remember, if you can take it back there, any inclinations about business or anything like that that interest you or no?
No.
Not opposite all. For me. Yeah. Yes, I always wanted to be a business owner. I just didn't know what. And when I was in high school, I went to a vocational technical school and I studied drafting. And my teacher had his own business, and my senior year, he allowed me to provide drafting services for him during class time and actually like paid me. So he would do that to a student, but they had to be a senior, you know, on their way out, kind of like a paid internship. And so he kind of inspired me, and I thought that I would have my own architectural practice because I did study architecture after high school, but that didn't pan out, but I did know that I wanted to own something.
Okay, that's interesting. So you this was in high school, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you were thinking of maybe design or architect work back then?
Yes.
Okay. And I was
a lost soul. I was just figuring it out. Just, I knew that I was good at talking and making friends. And
okay.
I love people, but you know, I never thought like I would own my own business. I kind of always felt like I would do something with people, like in the, you know, people stuff, just
sure.
Customer relations, client sales, that kind of thing. And but didn't think that I would own my own cleaning business ever.
Okay. You know, I mean, there are even adults here still trying to figure it out, so it's perfectly normal.
We're still figuring it out.
Day by day. Well, you know, that's how it is sometimes with entrepreneurship and business. Sometimes you're just figuring it out. Yeah.
Yes.
So after high school, I know you said you had an inclination, Eliza, a little bit about architecture. Did you know you wanted to go into pursue something like that, or what happened after high school?
Yeah. So I studied architecture at Temple University. I got my Bachelor of Science, and I did work for an architecture firm for about 2 years. And then the recession hit, and then I was unemployed.
This was around what, like 06, 07?
No. Why are you aging me?
No, I'm thinking of recession. So that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, it was 08. It was
okay.
08.
Okay. Uh-huh. What about you, Ada?
Well, I've always been in this area. So we were in a bubble, you know, recession hit and people in this area did not really feel the effects mm-hmm. of that. In 2008, answered an ad on Craigslist for an administrative role for another cleaning company and started with them. And 3 months in, he's like, you're really good with the project managers and the clients. Would you like to do sales? And I'm like, okay, what do I have to do? Just go to job site trailers and say hi to people. And I'm like, great. Like, that's like what I want to do. Like, just go out there, say hi. Perfect. So that's how I got my foot, you know, in the door and my career path with the whole construction industry. But I didn't feel, I haven't been laid off and I didn't feel any like repercussions or effects to the recession being in this area.
That's interesting, Anna. So you were going, you said this is a janitorial cleaning company you were working with, right?
They did the post-construction cleaning as well.
Okay. Oh, so that was their focus only was post-construction? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess they taught you as far as how to do business development, how to go get the sales, right?
Yes. And a lot of the same people that I met back in 2008 are clients of PCC now. So I maintain a lot of relationships from way, 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 way back.
Nice. So I guess part of the process was what you would see a trailer or a construction site just randomly you're driving. Is that what they taught you? Or was there a list? Oh, really? It wasn't anything.
Yeah. So they had lists, you know, they had clients already, but they wanted me to focus on building new relationships and just, I guess, having a presence where they didn't yet. So I would just go out there and just drive around. I would say, oh, today I'm doing Northern Virginia, tomorrow I'm doing DC, and you know, so forth. And I would just drive around with donuts in my car and look for cranes or look for construction signs and pop in there and ask if they have awarded their cleaning yet. And if they hadn't, then I would just continue to stop by until they, you know, gave us the opportunity to bid.
That same site you would repeat it multiple times and visit until. And that's good because I guess you established that relationship, right? As far as, oh, it's Anna again. Remember me, guys. Here's some donuts or coffee or whatever you would bring.
Right.
Yeah, stay in front of them so they don't forget you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure there was days, too, that you would drive around and you wouldn't find a construction site, right? Or a crane or anything like that? Or would you always at least hit something?
Always.
Okay.
And then I would always have my office days where I would follow up with people that had been, you know, seen and like, hey, when are you going to send me over the scope review and the drawing? So I wasn't always out on the job site, but I would either take people out that I already knew for lunch, coffee, or drive around looking for new construction sites or in the office, just following up on proposals or learning how to price this work.
And Eliza, what brought you down to this area?
So I came to this area because, like she said, it's a bubble market. The government's here, and so they weren't really affected by the recession. And when I got laid off, I started to think about what can I do that's kind of transitional in different market sectors. And so I decided, let me pursue project management. And I started seeking project management jobs when I moved down here. So I worked for a flooring subcontractor for about a year and a half. And then I worked for a specialty general contractor who had contracts with banks, and they did ATM replacements, bank renovations, and signage replacements for when the banks got bought out. And I was there for about 3.5 years. And I wanted to do something different because that was more of a stepping stone position for me. And I was there longer than I expected to be, but I learned a lot there. Like, I really sharpened my project management expertise and tools. And I had a friend And I told her, hey, I'm in the job market. I want to do something related to construction, still kind of in my field, not designing, which is what architecture was about, but more being on the construction side and witnessing and being part of the finished product. And she actually connected Anna and I. She sent my resume to her. And Anna called me, interviewed me over the phone. We probably talked about 30 minutes. And then she was like, I like you. I want to bring you in for a more formal interview with the owners of the company. And they hired me, excuse me, as an operations manager. So I actually ran the field, and learned that side of the business first, managing the people, managing the clients, managing
Material.
expectations, material, inventory, and doing something that I had never done before, which was start my day at the crack of dawn, starting really early in the morning, getting up at 3, 4 in the morning to be, at job sites by 5 in the morning. And so that's how I got started in the cleaning industry.
Anna, and when you were, I guess, talking with her then, was this with the former company you were with when you started selling to that same company?
I had made a move and
Okay.
I was at that other company for about 6 years. And then I was at this company for about 6 years
Yeah.
too. Yeah, that's where I was. That's where we met. And I was the project executive there. And not even 6 months later, I mean, you
Two
approached
months in.
2 months in, Eliza's like, have you ever thought about doing this for yourself? And I was like, oh my God, no, never. Like, you need money and I can't eat. She was like, but you do everything for this company. She's like, from top to bottom, with the exception of what she was doing, which was the scheduling, the field aspect of it. I did everything in the office. She was like, you do everything for them, like everything. Like you could do this for yourself. And then I was like, we need money. And she's like, we can figure that out. And so we started meeting once a month and putting together our business plan because she knew we were gonna leave and we were gonna start our own and do it for ourselves.
Eliza,
And that was here.
this was only 2 months in when you sort of gave her that idea.
Yeah,
Yes.
because the relationship, like our work relationship, was so organic. And it's like, it was the kind of relationship where I understood her thought process and I kind of finished her sentences. Still happens. Yeah. And so, like, we worked so well together. She was so great at, meeting people, networking, which at that point, that was kind of my weaker point. And I was so good at, keeping people on track, making sure they met the client expectations, kind of making it happen. And so we merged the two and we worked so well together. And I was like, okay, I feel like I understand this business. This is it. This is what I'm going to do.
And I was like, well, slow
And she's like,
down.
oh, slow down. You're only
Well,
2 months in. Like, it's not that easy. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm ready. Let's do this.
that's great. So then you guys started meeting monthly, you said, and how long was that plan until you finally decided, okay, I think we're ready to move forward and pull the trigger, per se.
2020.
So was it just a couple months in from that initial thought, or was it maybe
No.
longer than that?
So we registered our business in 2016 and we quit our full-time jobs in
In 2020.
2020.
So 4 years later. Okay.
Yep. We just,
So,
we, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please, Anna.
We just wanted to, we were, one, we were a little bit nervous.
Sure.
We wanted to make sure that we had everything ready. We were like, okay, we were going to have this much money in our account, and we were going to have all these tools, and we were going to have all these employees. But it was not a realistic thing when you're working full time for someone else, and you want to make sure that you're not doing anything that is going to be
A conflict of
a
interest.
conflict of interest. So we started with janitorial contracts, which we have still, the ones that we started out with back in 2016, we still have now. And we started cleaning houses, residential. We would go and pass out our business cards to houses. When we saw houses being renovated, we would hand out our card to let them know we would clean their houses. So we started building our nest egg with things that were not commercial cleaning to make sure that we weren't doing something that was conflict of interest, like Eliza said, but we noticed right away that we were never going to have this big nest egg that we wanted just doing homes and our small janitorial contracts. So that's when we finally decided we are going to struggle, but we are going to do this and we're going to quit right now.
And we struggled.
I guess, was that the reason then, I guess, for those 4 years you were doing on the side, besides your regular 9-to-5 jobs, the homes and the other commercial janitorial cleaning, right?
Correct. So it was initially like a side gig, side hustle, if you will, until we finally bit the bullet and was like, all right, we can never get the amount of money in this account that we want. We can't build a business working for someone else. So it's either now or never.
And we did it right before everything shut down for the pandemic, like a week before everything shut down. We're like, this is perfect timing that we quit our jobs when nothing is happening. But it worked out for us.
It did.
Yeah.
Wow. So the pandemic comes and you finally decide to leave. And I'm sure both of you are like, oh, shoot, what did we just do? Or no, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it was. We had no idea the world was going to shut down. And we had this big contract, and we're so grateful to them because they helped us kind of get our foot in the door and get the momentum going. And I think we had four employees.
We started with four, then six.
Yep.
And we had some nighttime work and we were out there cleaning. We were out there
at 6 a.m. and we transitioned to nighttime. We were out there at 5 p.m. and showing people how to clean. And
I was 4 months pregnant.
Yeah. There was a lot of firsts that we were dealing with all at the same time. And we did it. We just supported each other, made sure to communicate. And, you know, we were just so happy to do something for ourselves. And we invested all of our time because it's our baby.
Yeah. With the construction post-cleaning, you know, I can just picture, I've been in construction, so I'm sure not as much as you have, of course. But as far as, you know, your ladies here, you probably stick out, right? Or is that the norm?
Yes.
We do stick out. Not so much as we did back then. I mean, in 2008, I would walk onto a job site and, I mean, people would look at me like I had a horn in my forehead. Like, what are you doing here? And now, thank goodness, I mean, there's so many ladies in the industry.
Yes.
We work with so many women, from superintendents to project managers to executives to you see electricians that are lady. I mean, flooring, I mean, carpentry,
drywall.
There's so many women. Before, the cleaning crew was the only female trade on job sites. Now, not so much, which is great for everyone.
You just mentioned now, as far as having a big contract, was that a post-cleaning contract?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess having that in the bag sort of helped alleviate us at the time. If it wasn't for that, you probably would still be doing it on the side.
And it's kind of difficult because, you know, people want to give you an opportunity, but then they say, how many of these jobs have you done? And I'm like, well, I've done millions of them for other people, but not under PCC. So when they ask for information to sign you up, it's kind of scary. And the PM that went above and beyond and just like said, you know what, I know this, it doesn't look like she's done any, but I've worked with her in the past and I want to give her this opportunity. And he had to jump through some hoops to give us that big contract, but you know, we had that one. And then we just kept, when we weren't cleaning, we were out there doing the same thing, driving around,
stopping at
trailers, job sites. Yeah.
new people.
Exactly. So we then, I mean, the people that are still that started with us then are still with us now, with the exception of one. She went and she's a dental hygienist now, which we're so thrilled for her, but she was one of our top foremen. But we've retained those employees that stayed with us. So it's when we have new employees, they can say, oh, I was here from the beginning. I can testify that Anna does clean. And I'm like, exactly. Let them know that I've been in there. Anna does clean. She does pick up protection. So it's nice that there's some people that are with us still that witness the struggles and the growth of the company.
I love that. I mean, and that's great that that PM originally went to bat for you and just said, because I'm sure that wasn't easy for that person also.
We're forever grateful to them for trusting us and believing in us and giving us the
That opportunity.
opportunity. Because of him, we're here today because he was willing to bet on us and give us our first shot.
And then that gave us the opportunity, the money coming in, and then our people busy. And then other people, they were like, you're doing it for yourselves, finally, girl. Like they were so happy
Other
to.
clients that we had known.
Yes, people were very excited to support our new venture. And yeah, it's been great. It's been a blessing.
That's amazing. For those listening or watching, and they're not familiar with the janitorial or cleaning, I know you said you started off on the side with homes, residential, and then also commercial janitorial. But the focus of it sounded like from day one was sort of the post-construction cleaning. So I'm assuming, and again, I'm not in the business like you, that the projects for the post-construction is the bigger ones, the bigger margin, a little juicier. Is that correct to assume?
Yes.
The more headaches, but the juicier ones, like
Yes.
you said. Yeah. Janitorial is great. We have the same scope, the same address, the same folks that go there. The check comes in the same time. So it's nice, steady revenue. The margins aren't that big, but they're great. And then you have the homes, the same thing, same day, same crew, same place. Same money, and it's right away. Construction bigger, but the wait for the money is tough, but
It's a lot more moving parts. And that we have teams that like the construction aspect. They like to see their progress. They're in there before the building's closed in and finished until it's finished and turned over to the end user. And they like to see that progress. And then we have our janitorial people who want to maintain and like the consistency of their schedule, going to the same place every day, every time. So we have both.
With construction, it's a lot of problem solving and working with different trades. So we a lot of coordination. Like we have to coordinate with the painter. We have to coordinate with the drywall guy. We can't clean finish, areas that aren't finished yet. So there's a lot of moving parts to the construction side and giving the client some help in the problem solving too. Like, oh, we can do this now instead of this while you're getting your drywall up or your ceiling down and that kind of thing. So there's a lot more that goes into the construction part of it.
You mentioned your team several times here. How does your team look like today?
Oh, I mean, we're just shy of 100 employees, full-time employees, and that is just the construction side of them. That's not including for the homes, we have a crew of 10 that do our homes, and then the janitorial looks about the same.
That's amazing how just in a few years you said you was like 4 or 6, and then all of a sudden now you're over a
Over
hundred.
100, yeah.
We still pinch ourselves to this day. Thank
Yeah.
you. Thank you. Yes, we talk about it every so often. Like, do you remember when we only had four people and we were, like looking for people and struggling to get people on board to the point where our phone wouldn't stop ringing from people looking for jobs? And we're like, oh my goodness, okay.
That's great. I know you've been in the industry for long. I'm trying to think how difficult, or I guess not difficult, it was when Preferred Capital Cleaning started doing post construction. And you know, you already have those existing relationships and you're going to them and you're saying, hey, now this is a service that we're doing. Was it easy to sort of earn that business, or were they saying, no, we're sticking with what we know now, thank you, but no thank you?
We got a mixture of both. We had some people that say, like Anna said, oh, finally, you know, we want to work with you. We've worked with you in the past. And then we come across some new people and they're like, no, I have my go-to person. Thanks, but no thanks.
Or when they see like, oh, you've only done one big job, yes, or, oh, like, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Or how many, I mean, I remember we were in a scope review and they were so excited to meet with us. And yes, then they asked us, so how many people do you have? And Eliza was like, 10. And then he was like, oh. So she yeah. was like, we finished the interview and she said, your pricing looked good. I mean, your references sounded great, but I'm a little bit nervous because you only have 10 employees. Like maybe at a future job when you have more, because, you know, we might need to beef up the man and lady power at certain parts of the project. So not on this one. We did get our next job.
We did get their next job and they're a good client of ours.
Yes.
We've gotten several jobs with them now.
But in particular, her job, we
her
did get
job
her.
We did not get.
Not yeah, that one. Not we did get the next one with mm-hmm. her. But yeah.
That's great. What would you say drives and motivates you?
Go ahead.
I mean, for me, sorry about that. for me, one, money does motivate us, but also just making, like, just having all these people that I know that we're helping provide, you know, steady work for. I'm friends with a lot of them on social media, so I get to see their vacations, their children, and to know that we're helping
yeah.
Provide for a lot of families just really, it warms me. it's really special. And we know how hard it is in this industry to stay busy and work. That's like one of my constant worries, to make sure that all the people that work for us are constantly busy. And so, yeah, just
that. Yeah, our field team is definitely my greatest motivating force.
Mm-hmm.
Want to make sure that, you know, they stay employed, do a good job. And they come to us and they tell us, you know, we've had people that started at a very low wage where now, because we've grown, we're able to afford to pay them a higher wage. And they come to us and say, because of you, because of this job, mm-hmm. because you guys believe in us, because you guys inspire us, because you guys motivate us, mm-hmm. I was able to get a car. I was able to put a down payment on my house for my family. I'm able to send money back home. I'm able to support my family back home and live comfortably here. And that, I mean, I can't ask for anything more.
That's yeah. beautiful. The majority of your team, is it ladies? Is it minority? Or how does it look?
Both.
Yeah. We do have men and great guys. Like at first, mm-hmm. like we would always like recruit women. And then we're like, why are we doing that? Like now we have a ton of guys that are helping us with our punch out
yes.
stuff. Also, we do train all our staff. So a lot of our guys, since they're taller and stronger, I'm so sorry about that. We sent a lot of our staff to get trained for lifts and different type of equipment and machinery. And so these guys are very, very helpful. More men should be, you know, interested in cleaning, because it's not just like regular yeah. cleaning, and there's a lot that goes on in the punch out. They come in and fix little things in there, you know, here and there of a unit, of a space. They patch something up, they paint something, then the ladies come behind them and clean, but the guys also clean as well.
Yes.
But do all our exterior windows. We self-perform like exterior window cleaning or power washing. And that's like a little bit heavier stuff so our guys are great and all that stuff.
Sure.
And they appreciate that we invest in them and send them to these courses and this training.
But would you say what maybe over 80% or 90, or how does it look as far as your team demographics internally?
I would say 80% are
Women.
women, 100% minority.
100% minority.
Yeah.
Mostly
And that's
Latino,
fluctuated.
Latina.
Yes, and that's
Yeah.
fluctuated. We've had some American people on our team, but they leave. We would love to keep them on board, but they just
Yeah.
don't stay for whatever reason.
No. Me being an immigrant myself and coming to this country at a very young age, cleaning has a special place in my heart because that was actually my first job, was helping my mother, helping my mom clean her clients. And I just remember, gosh, maybe 8, 10, I can't even remember, going with her to jobs and just little things like, hey, go pick up the trash. Empty the trash, go throw whatever. Here's Windex or the tables, whatever. And that's the thing. We come to this country for a better life for ourselves and our family, and we have to do whatever it is to provide. And it's just great what both of you are doing. So I commend you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, and I tell the ladies and guys that, what we do, it's considered a non-skilled trade, but it takes a lot of skill to do what they do. If someone comes in and doesn't know how to use a certain type of machine or doesn't know what a product does, they can
Damage.
damage like a very expensive,
Surface or
surface
finish.
or finish. And so, and also we are the last step before the owner presents their big project to someone, right? And if it's not sparkling and beautiful, and if it doesn't smell nice, like the owner's gonna immediately not be happy. So what we do, I tell our staff to take it, to do it with pride, and they do, and you can tell, and they look great out there. We invest in a lot of equipment
Their
and their
uniform.
uniforms because we want them to feel good. We want them to look good. So they're constant. What we do is dirty, but we're constantly giving them new
New.
uniforms because we want them to look great and stand out from the competition and actually look like clean, like a clean cleaner.
Right. We're like, we know you're a cleaner and you clean, but you don't, you can look presentable
Yes.
while performing your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's very true. What advice would you give someone if they came to you and they wanted to start a new business? Maybe it's in the cleaning, janitorial, or maybe totally different industry. Any pointers or suggestions?
We tell them that it's not easy, but anything that is worth it isn't easy. And we tell them there is an initial struggle period, which we knew. They t studies say that you don't start making money when you own your first business or your own business until after about the first 3 years. So if you're going to do this, you gotta be willing to be in the weeds. It's going to take some time to get out of there.
And I think we're starting to see the fruits of our labor. I mean, we've had very high highs getting big contracts and just, I mean, but everything just goes right back to our people, our equipment, I mean, just right back to the business. So we're now seeing the fruits of our labor, and we hope to continue to see that, but it's not easy.
Not for the faint of heart, for
No, it's
sure.
not. No. But just to tough it out because it's going to be worth it in the end. And all the ups and downs that Eliza and I have had, and I mean, it still has been so much better than to have a headache for someone else. Like it's something you can't explain. Like or entrepreneurs, I guess, can understand that the same dilemma for someone else is not the same when you're doing it for
For
your own
yourself.
business and yourself. Like it's not as tough, and that gives you some reassurance, and warm and fuzzy, makes it easier, I
Yeah.
guess.
With the struggle, and I don't know if you have a significant other at home, how was that? Was there any effect or impact in the household for each of you?
So I don't have a significant other, but Anna does, and he's been very supportive of us throughout it all. I mean, like we said, when we quit our full-time jobs and decided to grow this on our own, she was pregnant. And we had just become homeowners like a year or two prior. So we had a mortgage to pay. We didn't have money coming in, and he was holding it down for their household. And luckily the company that I have my mortgage with sent like a letter and an email saying, if you're, you know, having financial struggles due to COVID, we can pause your mortgage payments for up to a year and not have any penalty fees or extending your time on your mortgage. And so, yeah, I submitted the application and it got approved the next day. And that lifted a huge weight off of our shoulders because I didn't have to worry about making that payment. And we just went from there. Like, I mean, we were able to focus on the business.
Because we did need, we didn't pay ourselves for a very long time, over a year. And our employees get that check every Friday. So every little thing that came in was going
right back to them.
Yeah. So my husband was very supportive financially, and he's very supportive of, like Eliza said, us, just with everything. He's in the industry too. So he would send us leads. Thank you. Mm-hmm. He sends us leads. He would make connections to people that he works with as well. He promotes us. And no, he's been a great support system for myself and Eliza. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to take that leap of faith without my husband.
That's great. I'm happy to hear that. Are there any specific traits or habits that you both feel that you have that have helped you in the business or even just on the personal side of things?
Yeah. You know, me talking, meeting people, going out there, just, I'm like genuinely interested on what everyone needs to say and wants to say and talks to me. And they, you know, at networking events, I can sit with someone and I come back to her. I'm like, did you know that how did you get that information? Like, people just, you know, confide in me. And I just generally love meeting people and staying connected with them. So all the connections that I made, I think that's really helpful. I would say that if you're shy, you know, just step out of that little comfort zone and just talk to people. That will go a long way. People want to work with people that they like and they trust. Yeah. And if you just put yourself out there, you will start seeing, you know, your hard work come into fruition because people, you know, they want to work with you. Like there are a lot of cleaning companies. I think there's a lot that helps us stand out, but also like just us both being who we are and just genuinely wanting to, you know, have these connections with people.
Yeah, she's definitely, I would tell her like, you have the gift of gab. You're a schmoozer, you know, and me, I'm like the technical person, getting everything in order, making sure dollars and cents add up, making sure payroll systems are set up, IT, you know, I've done the back of house stuff. And then she would say, we got to get out there and meet more people. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't like doing that.
Oh, she's so good at it now.
Now I'm like, oh, we got to go here. We got to do this. We got to do that. To the point where I even took someone out to coffee today and I came and told her, she's like, you did what? Because that's not me. And I was like, yes. And I, you know, I found out a lot of information and
actually a competitor.
And I learned this about their family. I learned that. And I told them about myself and I took the time to get to know her because we seen her at a lot of networking events and we don't have the opportunity to talk. I mean, you know, we're all three trying to get more business. And so I was like, we went to walk a job site and ran into each other. And I was like, oh, let me take her out for coffee to get to know her a little better. And she accepted the invite and we exchanged stories and laughs and it was good. And I'll see something or an organization or something, I'm like, Anna, we got to go to this. We got to do this. We got to go to this party. We got to get to meet these people. I've stepped out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm glad you both mentioned this. You know, you hear stories a lot of times with partnerships, how some of them is great, everything's perfect, and then some of them not so great. So how do you both, I guess, do you deal with it or divide and conquer? Is there anyone that focuses more on a certain thing than another thing?
Yeah. I mean, Eliza, she handles that. Now we have a team. We have a person in the office, but you know, Eliza would do, like she said, all the behind the scenes things, the
operations,
the scheduling for our staff, buying material, buying equipment, payroll, accounts receivables and accounts payables, like, you know, just doing all of that. And then I was out there, I do all our social media, I'm in charge of, I sign us up for all the networking events, I go out there and get the word. But Eliza, now we still do divide and conquer, but now both of us are out there also
focusing on getting the word,
on sales as well. So yeah,
that's great.
Some people tell me, they're like, if it wasn't for her, I'm like, I know you love Eliza. Eliza's your favorite. So we both do. Eliza did for the beginning of the company. Mm-hmm. She was doing that. And then I was just out there paving the pavement, getting our work, getting the work, doing the proposals, doing our social media, and signing us up for coffee, lunches, lunch and learns, drinks with clients.
Getting marketing. Getting all the marketing.
I do all our marketing. All our materials. So yeah.
She focused on building our website. And initially I was like, we don't need that. And now I see how important it is. The first thing people do is like, oh, I went to your website. You guys have some impressive things on there. And she's like, see?
When she started hearing, you guys don't have a website.
I know. I was like, well, we got to get one. And I was like, this is embarrassing.
Speaking about marketing and sales and all this different groups and events, from a marketing standpoint, what would you say drives the most traffic to your business?
LinkedIn.
Interesting. Okay. How so?
They see the type of work that we can perform. So they don't think we're now all of a sudden, we're just not any regular cleaning company. They say, oh, wow, you guys did Amazon headquarters. That's 3 million square feet. Mm-hmm. Wow. You guys did that. Oh, you guys work with Hensel Phelps. Oh, you guys work with so-and-so. So they see that. Yeah. Oh, you guys are on Clark Jobs. Like, they see that we're on these big, high profile, beautiful projects. And I show before and after. Mm-hmm. I show pictures of my team
in action.
In action. Mm-hmm. So they now see, okay, you're not just
talking.
Yeah.
Now they see, oh, they are doing what they say they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're the real deal.
Yes.
So for LinkedIn, social media, you're connected, I guess, to other people, maybe in the construction field, I assume, right? So then the right audience actually sees the post.
Yes.
Clients. I mean, we've gotten work. I mean, like she said, I get people that reach out to me and they're like, hey, I saw that you did that job. Would you be interested in pricing my project? Absolutely. Like, and I've gotten so many projects like that because they see the type of work that we do. And it just helps people just stay connected as well. I mean, I love LinkedIn, like love. And I get to see what everybody else is working on.
Yeah.
If someone is, you know, doing excavating, I'm like, oh, that's a new one. I didn't know that was going there. And I reach out to that person. Oh, what job are you excavating? And he's like, oh, it's this new residential. And then, you know, that's a lead for me. And I, you know, it's very early on, but I stay on top of that. I try to figure out who's in charge of that project and stay connected.
Yeah, contractors post what they're working on or what they've been awarded. And then I send her like the post and I'm like, oh, we got to go stop over there. Oh, we got to keep an eye on this one. We want that one. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lead connector for us as well. I actually got a dorm project, a college dormitory project from a LinkedIn post. I saw they were working on something and I stopped over there and No one was actually in the trailer, and I just left my business card, and I saw someone had printed out an email, and I took a picture of their email, and I said, I'm gonna follow up with them. And turns out we had actually worked with them in the past.
No, so.
And they were like, oh my gosh, you started your own. Yes, I'll give you a shot to bid this. And we've built a great relationship with that person and have gotten several jobs with that person since then as well.
I love that, especially when you hear people say, "Oh, you're wasting your time in social media or LinkedIn or this and
Oh
that. What's the
no.
benefit?" But
No.
here you go. Look at this.
And she's queen of that because she likes, like she said, she likes to talk. She likes people to,
Engaging.
yeah, she likes to know what people are doing. She likes people to know what we're doing. And so that's why she handles that. She has great posts and it attracts people and it gets us work. It's doing what it's supposed to
We
do.
get a lot of work from it. Not small, little bitty jobs, big
Large
contracts
shop.
that start from a post, a
Yeah.
simple post.
And when you're doing the post cleaning, for example, you mentioned Amazon or this dorm project, you're doing the post cleaning for the entire project, correct?
Yes, the power washing, the exterior windows, the temp labor, the final cleaning, we're doing everything.
I love that. Anna, since you're the one sort of, it sounds like you're the one doing it, do you put in it daily? Do you invest in it daily? How much time do you put on it every day? Or do you have any strategies if sorry, someone listening to this and say, hey, maybe I can do this for my business, whether they do something similar or totally different than you?
I would say once a week, one post a week. You don't wanna like oversaturate people with stuff. And you also wanna just, because then they'll start like not paying attention. Like, oh, it's another one, right? So, like, I do, if I don't do it 1 week, I'll do it another, but I do highlight projects that we're working on. I highlight our employees. But I think once a week is a good rule of thumb. It's not too much, and then the people aren't going to like just swipe and keep going. I think they'll be more interested in seeing what you're saying if it's not too much.
And then are you also like, I guess, in there engaging often or looking
Yes.
at, you said, oh, like this construction project looks like it's
Yes, all the
happening
time.
all the time you're in there. Okay.
Yeah, we say
All the time.
congratulations on your win. Congratulations on your new position. We're always, we like things that people are working on. So we repost great articles, or when the project teams that we work on post their projects, we just
Post
repost
them.
their posts. Congrats.
Congratulations,
Or
Matt.
we were so honored to have been your final cleaner on this job. And a lot of people do that. So they actually help me with the posts. Information because they've already done it for me, and I just
Yeah.
put repost it and say, so honored that we were on this team. And people are like, oh, you did that? And I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah, we did that,
Yeah. I love that. So you would say LinkedIn is number one from a marketing standpoint. Then is it, I don't know, websites or relationship or events or networks or
I would say relationships, going to job sites, then I would say networking events, right?
Yeah, I agree with that order.
Website. People do look at our website, but yeah, I would say LinkedIn,
Relationships and then
relationships,
networking.
networking and websites, yeah.
What would you say is your biggest challenge with your role today at Preferred Capital Cleaning?
Time. We
Time?
don't have enough time.
That there aren't more of us,
Yes.
that we haven't cloned
We
ourselves.
have to clone ourselves. We just went to a convention in Vegas last week and we attended one of their
Seminar.
sessions. Yeah, their seminar sessions. And there was this number one selling author who helps people like understand how to grow their business. And the topic of the session was cloning yourself. So we were like, oh, we gotta get in contact with him.
So
Oh, we gotta do this.
it's one of those things like time and finding good people to help us grow our business. So we're right now looking for to grow our team.
Yep.
We need that's our goal for 2024, business development person, because even
Project
though I'm really good
manager.
at it, I do we do see a need for it. So business development person, project manager, and down the line, operations
Operation.
manager, but we will promote within. with that position.
Okay, that's nice. Because I was going to say, when you're going out, for example, like this convention, I guess who's holding down the fort there in the office and running everything?
We do have an office manager.
Okay.
Holding down the fort, but we are always...
Yeah, we were still answering calls.
You're still on.
Taking emails, texting. So we were still connected.
I hardly put my away message because mm-hmm. I'm always available. I will always have my laptop. I will always have my phone. I mean, I was answering emails through both labors. Like, I mean, I don't stop, but I do need to find a balance. So, and that comes with having a team. Mm-hmm. And that's why, even though, like I said, I am good at business development, I do want someone to help me with that. And we need help.
Yes. I can't grow without a team.
I can't keep, 24 hours. I need a little break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I completely agree. What do you know now that you wish you would have known at the start of your business career?
Oh, that we were going to be this successful. I would have started a lot sooner.
Yes, I agree with that. That is very true.
Hindsight is 2020. We started when we were supposed to. But that this ride was going to be as fun and as exciting as it has been. And that, I wish, even though it's hard, I wish we would have started a lot sooner.
You know, some things take time. Like I think about it myself too, with my own career, or even for you, like if you wouldn't have built some of those relationships through all those years in the industry, I'm sure it would have played out a little differently, right? As far as that ramp up stage period.
Yes, definitely.
Like I think about that myself, and I agree with that statement though.
Just 2 years before or sooner.
You said 2 years before?
Maybe 2 years sooner. Maybe five. Who knows? But yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So what does the future look like for you? What are you most excited about for the next couple of years?
I mean, we just left that Vegas convention so inspired and so motivated to meet so many people around the country that do the same thing that we do and have the same passion and struggles that we go through. And just hearing, like, I'm a $20 million company. I'm a $50 million mm-hmm. company. I'm a $100,000 or $100 million company. Like, to hear and see what these people are doing and
accomplishing.
Yeah, it's incredible. So for us, we want to continue to go to that convention, and we want to one day stand up and say we are, a $20 million company. So there's opportunity, a lot of opportunity for growth in this market. With the government sector, with our janitorial, we're gonna grow our janitorial mm-hmm. a lot. We're gonna focus on that more, seeing how profitable and how big it can be. If you just look, you step outside, you see all the buildings. All those buildings need to be maintained, right? So who's doing it? And there's a need for it, and we're here. And so construction, there's a lot of construction, and we have grown tremendously with our construction relationships. And I mean, we already have so much work for next year. And so, I mean, I guess it's
sky's the limit.
Yeah, sky's the limit. We're just going to continue to grow with our punch out crews, our janitorial services, continue to grow our commercial cleaning
and see what other services we add on as the years go by. What fits into our realm of cleaning and construction.
Yeah. The nice thing with that, with the janitorial cleaning, commercial cleaning, you have sort of that recurring monthly revenue that trickles compared to sort of the post-construction, which is one big one here and there, right?
Correct.
And that's the key, here and there. Yeah. Janitorial is every, when we met some of these janitorial company mm-hmm. People in Vegas, I mean, you have an $18 million company and all you do is janitorial. And that's like consistent every mm-hmm. month. Like, oh my God.
You're like, I send out my invoice on the 20th of the month. And by the first of the month, my money's in the bank. And we're like, oh my God, that sounds delightful.
So we definitely want to start focusing more on our janitorial, because we the contracts that we have are the ones that we got when we were only pursuing that, because that's the only thing we could have pursued in the beginning. So after this convention, seeing how successful these janitorial businesses are and the consistency of it, like, we see it on a very small, you know, scale, but just we were like, how did you get that big? And they, like, you need someone to just be dedicated to that. And that's why we're big in the commercial construction side, because that's where we are, you know, focused on.
We learned it's the same thing, basically knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And there's that one person that's going to give you a shot and you do a great job, and then they're going to spread the word. And from there comes more work.
So the business development person you plan to bring on would focus more on the growing the janitorial service division.
I think they will help us with both.
Okay.
I think they can.
Until it gets so much, then we can have, you know, one person dedicated to pursuing construction contracts and one person dedicated to janitorial. I mean, eventually we want, you know, dedicated teams for each section.
Work.
So one for construction, one for janitorial, one for the government sector, because that's a whole different animal with paperwork and requirements. Mm-hmm. And we definitely need a dedicated team just for that. So that's what the future looks like.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Very bright and big future.
Yes.
We are so excited. Like, we are so excited. We see everything that's happening. The horizon looks great.
I love that. Coming to an end here now, when you're not busy working, what do you like to do for fun in your free time?
My husband likes to travel.
I was just going to say travel.
We travel a lot. We camp. My husband fishes. We golf. So we don't golf together. We did just golf together for the first time in October after all these years in Ireland. Just traveling and spending more quality time with my boys, my husband. And we're at that point now where I can get home and I don't need to be on my phone until, you know, the next day for work. So it's been really nice. And just more travel. Did I say travel?
Lots of travel.
Travel.
Let's say it again. Travel.
Eating and drinking and traveling.
I can hold on to eating.
When traveling, I'm sure you're always also on, right? As far as available on the phone or the computer.
Yeah.
But we'll get to a point where we won't need to be as connected, because we'll just touch base with our teams and then they'll do that.
That's great. If people want to learn more about you and Preferred Capital Cleaning, maybe someone's listening and say, I would love to join them. They sound great. I want to be part of the team. Where can they go to, please, to find out more information?
Our website.
Like twins.
Preferred Capital with an O, cleaning.com.
Or find us on LinkedIn.
Or Instagram or Facebook.
Just everywhere. Just Google them and you'll
everywhere.
Find them.
Everywhere.
There you go.
All
They're
the
everywhere.
Important ones. Yes.
PreferredCapitalCleaning.com.
Yes. And I'll be the one that they'll be communicating with.
Maybe. If she answers that call, I might get it first.
Thank you so much for coming on today. It was such a joy and pleasure.
Yes, thank you. This has been fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. We hardly get an opportunity to talk about our business and what we've accomplished. I kind of feel a little bit shy to talk about all of our big accomplishments. But I guess we do need to reflect and just be grateful. And this right here really helped just like
celebrate our wins.
Yes.
But
thank
we don't
you.
Do that enough.
No, we don't. We're always go, go, go. So thank you so much.
Of course. And you know what? I have a feeling this is just the beginning for you ladies.
Let the good Lord hear you.
Yes. Thank you also.
My pleasure. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.